I'd like for you to turn with me again tonight, the book of Acts chapter 4, not the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we've been kind of just taking a walk through these verses, taking a look-see of how the Holy Spirit moved in His people and through His people, and the things that were accomplished when the Holy Spirit began to move. I want to preach tonight with this title in mind as we take a walk through these scriptures. I want to talk about field to face it. Field to face it. We're going to face adversary and conflict, but I believe God will fill us with His Spirit in order that we can face that conflict and adversary and be victorious through Jesus Christ. We live in crucial times with this election looming upon the horizon. We know how crucial it is for things that we as Christians believe. I want us to know something. We're a blessed people as Americans. And with that blessing, we have grown to expect our nation to be a Christian nation. We have grown to expect our nation to accept our Christian beliefs. And I can understand that. After all, our founding fathers founded our nation based on Christian principles. After all, it was pilgrims and Puritans that came and carved out a place in this wilderness for the freedom of worship. And I know we understand why we expect, but in expecting our nation to be a Christian nation, we need to realize we've had a privilege that most Christians through the centuries have never had. Because most Christians have lived in nations that were not Christian, and the peoples and the governments of those nations were anti-Christian, anti-Jesus, anti-things of spiritual that we believe in. I don't say this as a prophet or a calamity, Howard, but we need to realize with that privilege, we may be facing times when we too will live in a climate that's completely anti-Christ and anti-everything that we believe in. And that's one of the reasons I'm addressing this. In fact, today, as I preach this in China, there's multitudes of Christians that have suffered horribly for their faith. In Iran, today, there were Christians who were persecuted and tormented for their faith. And what we used to call Burma, amongst the Karen people, there are Christians there that have suffered today for their belief in Jesus Christ. In Sudan, there's Christians today there that have suffered from worshiping the name of Jesus. And on we could go. Last week or so in Kenya, there were 17 Christians killed in a church. And it's happening all across the world. And we see it in our story tonight at the beginning of the church, at the origin of the church. Peter and John have just seen a great thing happen. A layman that has not walked all his life is now walking healed in the name of Jesus. And now Peter and John are preaching Jesus, and people's hearts are being stirred and changed by His power. They're becoming born again. They're becoming saved. In fact, let me just put it this way. Things begin to happen when the Holy Spirit moves. Hallelujah. How many knows that to be a truth? When the Holy Spirit begins to move, things begin to happen. Homes are helped. Marriages are restored. People are healed. People are saved. And that's what happened through Peter and John, letting the Holy Spirit move through them. But as certainly as there was a moving of the Holy Spirit, there was this fact. There were people that didn't like it. They didn't like it that the Spirit moved. They didn't like it that the man lame was healed. They didn't like it that folks were being saved. And it's that way, even today, in the things of God. Somebody won't like it when God gets to moving. I remember in 1979 when I began to go out and preach, I thought that everywhere I went preaching the gospel, everybody would like it and would like me. I discovered in a hurry that not everybody liked the gospel and not everybody liked me. Also, I discovered I didn't like everybody either. But anyway, a layman is healed, people are saved, but somebody didn't like it. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, But from this story, I want to tell it to you afresh. Whenever God moves, Satan will countermove to attempt to stop it. Whether it's in your individual life or whether it's in the church, if you begin to experience the moving of the Holy Spirit, Satan will be right there to attempt to stop it. I've seen it recently in people's individual lives. I've seen it amidst the moves of God we've been having by the Spirit in this sanctuary. I've seen as the Holy Ghost begins to move, the one that does not like that gets stirred up and he begins to move to try to stop it. But I want to tell you, there's a way that we can overcome him. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit he's trying to stop can rise up in us and we can overcome every counterattack of Satan. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we begin to walk through these verses. And as they, Peter and John, verse 1, spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. See, I told you they didn't like it. They were grieved. They were upset. But you got to understand something here. You can almost miss it. They weren't upset at the religion. They weren't upset because people were getting religion or even people were talking about spiritual things. They were upset because they were preaching Jesus. That's what upset them. We live in a world just like this. You can talk about Buddha. You can talk about Muhammad. You can talk about the gods of the Eastern religions. You can talk about a generic God. But the moment in public, when you begin to preach Jesus, amen, somebody goes ballistic. Somebody gets upset. But I tell you, if demons fear and hate the name, won't the world hate it too? Amen. You see, all these other gods can't save anybody, but you begin to preach Jesus and folks get saved. Lives are changed. Eternal destinies, amen, are changed. Amen. They got upset because they were preaching Jesus, but there's no other name to preach that will give hope and help and healing and a change to a life but the name of Jesus. If you truly attempt to serve and live for Jesus, if you let the Spirit move through you, as certainly as Satan tried to stop the moving of the Spirit in what we're reading, stop the spread of the gospel in what we're reading about the first church, he'll try to stop it in your life. But let Jesus be Jesus in your life. He may try to stop him, but you cannot stop the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, they were grieved that they were preaching Jesus and through him the resurrection of the dead. Only through Jesus is there any hope of life eternal. I'll tell you why. I've got to be quick here, so I'll just tell you in a nutshell. Amen. They were preaching through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. It's only through him that you can have the hope of eternal life, and I'll tell you why. He's been there and come back. They killed him. They put him in a tomb, but by the same Holy Spirit that anointed Peter, 3 days later, he raised from the dead. He was risen only through him, because he's been there and he's come back. Hallelujah. Oh, they were preaching Jesus. And these men, these temple guards, verse 3, they laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day. They put them in prison. They threw them in jail because it was evening. Didn't have time. The courts were closed. Amen. We need to see what the enemy is doing even in our time. It's the same thing he was doing there. He's trying to stop the spread of the gospel. He's trying to keep the gospel from changing and revolutionizing and totally making a difference in people's lives. He was doing it then. He was trying to stop the gospel. He threw them into prison. Howbeit, verse 4, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men grew. It was about 5,000. Oh, listen to this. They didn't like him preaching Jesus. They threw him in prison, but too late. Too late. They threw him in prison too late, because the message already got out, and that message was already changing lives. And 2,000 years later, the message has not changed. Jesus is the answer. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. Verse 7, and when they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Oh, I tell you one thing, for the day was over with. They regretted they had ever asked them that question. They thought they was going to put a stop to it. They said, by what name? Oh, that was the wrong question. By what name have you made this man whole? Have you ever asked somebody a question you wish you had and once you did? There's some folks, the moment you ask them, how are you feeling? I wish I'd never asked 10 minutes later. Where did you get that? I'm convinced that these men regretted they ever asked the question. By what power, what name have you done? But I'm glad they asked the question, because we got to hear what we have here. Neither is there salvation in any other. Hallelujah. Oh, here's what I really want to get to tonight. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, and then he begins to preach. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're thinking, wait, something's going on here. I thought I just read in Acts chapter 2 that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened? Did it leak out? Did he lose it? Why is it saying that he was filled again with the Holy Ghost? Well, I want to tell you, it didn't leak out. It didn't drain out. You got to understand, this is a new crisis. It's a new day. It's a new facing of the enemy. Peter never lost the Holy Spirit he was filled with in Acts chapter 2. How then is he filled with the Holy Ghost? Because he's facing the enemy, and suddenly the Holy Ghost that is in him rises up and fills his mind and fills his thoughts and fills his feelings and fills his mouth and gives him a word and gives him a message. The Holy Ghost was there, but now it's filling the being of Peter. Totally. I tell you, that's still the answer when the enemy comes against us, is to let the Holy Ghost fill us with his power, his mind, until our mind is full and our heart is full and our lips are full with the power of the Holy Ghost. I know sometimes I think in odd illustrations, but I got to thinking how to explain this. How did Peter already have the Holy Spirit filled in Acts 2, but now when he's facing this court, how is he filled in this sense? And I got to thinking, you go to a motel and you go up to the counter and there's no clerk there, but there's always an office, a door behind the counter, and there's a little office back there, and he's back there or she's back there doing something, and you ring that bell, or maybe they look out and see you, but as soon as they see you, they leave that inner office and they come running up to that counter and they get behind the computer screen and they put their fingers on the keys of the keyboard and they're right there and said, how can I help you? Amen. They were there all the time, but when the need was there, here they come rushing up. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can have the Holy Spirit in you in the inner sanctuary of your heart, but a need arises. You face an enemy and suddenly the Holy Spirit that's in the depths of your being, he comes rushing to the foreground. He's right there. He fills you with the power. I thought of another illustration in our bodies. Amen. We have an invasion. Something injures us. A bacteria gets in our bloodstream, and the white blood cells that are in our body, they've always been there, but suddenly they're rushing to the point of the invasion, the point of the entry. I'm telling you, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but when the need arises, he fills every part of your soul and being and heart and gives you a power to resist and overcome the enemy. Hallelujah. There's one baptism, but there's many feelings of this sense. Well, glory to God. And then he begins, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. I got to thinking about this. You know, I can sense it. I never have before. But I sense almost the sarcasm in Peter's voice, Brother Keith. Did you hear what he said? He said, are you putting us on trial for a good deed we did to an impotent man? I thought you put people that did bad things on trial. But what he's saying, Peter's saying, let's get this straight. You drug us into court and you're putting us on trial because a man that never walked in 38 years or 40 years of his life, amen, he's been healed and now he's walking and praising God and entering the, and you're putting us on trial for a good thing. You know, we live in a time that way when it's the good things that our courts are attacking. It's when the good is done by the church that the attack comes. Amen. I'm just convinced people always get upset about Jesus despite the fact that he's never done anybody anything but good. Peter said the good deed done to that impotent man and how he's made whole. Verse 10, be it known unto you. I'm going to answer you. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and oh, he preaches, he lays on the conviction, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I know the word whole here means concerning the physical. He's made healed. He's made whole. But I just want to tell you, that's what Jesus does. He makes people whole. Hallelujah. In other words, without Jesus, people are not whole. There's something missing. There's something wrong. There's something lacking. But Jesus makes people whole. Hallelujah. He puts people together again. He takes that which is broken and heals it and mends it. He takes what is missing and he supplies. Aren't you glad Jesus can make you whole? Hallelujah. How was this man made whole? Peter brings in the Old Testament. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Peter got this from Jesus. Jesus said this is what the Pharisees were doing to him. They were throwing him away. And he gives a picture of a builder. He got a hold of a stone. He said, this is junk. It won't fit into what I have planned. And he threw it in the debris pile, in the trash pile. But when they got ready to look for that cornerstone or the stone to complete the building, they looked and looked and couldn't find it till they went into the debris pile, and the stone they discarded was the very one that they needed. And Peter brings that up, and he's really saying to them, you're trying to get rid of the very one that you need. I'm convinced of one thing. If you reject Christ, you are rejecting the very one that you need now and you're going to need tomorrow. We need him. And then Peter really begins to preach. You ask us how he was healed? Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We live in a pluralistic world that says there's many ways to God. Just choose your own way, make up your own religion, and whatever you believe is going to be true. Amen. But listen, first of all, that can't be true. The Word of God says there's no other name under heaven whereby we can obtain salvation. There's only one way to be saved. It doesn't matter what other groups say. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm telling you, they may think it's being exclusive. They may think it's being narrow-minded, but I just believe it's the truth. There's only one way of salvation, and it's the name of Jesus. But I want you to look at it from another perspective. If the modern crowd is right and there's lots of ways to get saved, then Peter and John, don't stay in the trouble. Just give up preaching Jesus. Just stop preaching Jesus. Go home. Amen. You don't have to go through this trouble, be taken to the court, thrown into jail, beaten for preaching Jesus. If there's another way to be saved, just go home and forget it and don't suffer like that. Amen. But the reason they didn't go home, the reason they faced the court, the reason they went to jail, the reason their backs were beaten is they knew there was no other way except through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Now when they, that's the court, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant or unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You got to understand what's here. They're not just criticizing Peter and John by being unlearned and ignorant. That simply means they hadn't been to university. They hadn't been to seminary. They hadn't been to Bible school. But behind all of what these leaders were saying, they realized that there was something greater than Peter and John. Something at work in Peter and John that went beyond their natural abilities. How many knows that's really what we need in the world we live in? We need something that goes beyond our natural abilities. I don't care how wise, how smart, how talented, how rich, how much family you have. None of us are equipped to face our enemy by ourselves. We need something that's greater than us. Amen. That's above us to get inside of us, to enable us to resist that which is around us. Oh, and that's the Holy Ghost. Even these carnal men, even these unsaved men, they realized that what was coming out of Peter and John's mouth, the way they healed that man, was more than Peter and John. Even though it was Peter and John that were the instruments, there was something more than Peter and John at work in them. And I'm telling you, that's what I want. Hallelujah. And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. You know why? Because they're now acting like Jesus. It was Jesus that told the lame man to get up. But now it's Peter and John. It was Jesus that said, I'm the way, the truth, and there's no other way. Now it's Peter and John saying that. He rubbed off on him. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I'm telling you what. If you will be with Jesus, you'll end up with the Holy Spirit, just like Peter and John did. If they hadn't followed Jesus, they had never ended up in that room where they were filled with the Spirit. But it was because they had been with Jesus that they ended up filled with the Spirit. If you'll spend time with Jesus, I promise, if you spend time with Jesus, you'll end up with the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. It was evident this man had been healed. I'm going to try not to get on a soapbox here, but I, as a believer in divine healing and miracles, most of what we see on religious media wouldn't even convince me a believer in it. But here, the enemies of the gospel could not deny the miracle that had been worked. And I believe when it's God, a real miracle, even the enemies of the cross, they may not like it, but they won't be able to deny that something tremendous has happened. But I want you to notice what's happening here that we so desperately continue to need. In the early church, you didn't just have preaching, but you also had testimonies of how the gospel was currently and actively making a difference. Not only could Peter say Jesus is a healer, he could point to the lame man, and the lame man could jump up and say, it's true, because he healed me. Hallelujah. A witness, a testimony. Hallelujah. Verse 15. They got to do something about this. So when they had commanded them to go aside, they said, we need to talk about you for a while. Could you go aside? We want to talk about this in private. Out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, and by the way, somebody on this council had to later befriend Christians and spill the beans on this, because if they sent the apostles away and this is a private meeting, how did they know what the officials were discussing? Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable, again, they can't deny it, a notable miracle hath been done by them, and it's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And even we, the enemies, can't deny this. But listen, verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. You see, Satan knows ultimately he cannot stop the gospel. So he does everything he can to contain it. And that's what they're saying. They say, it's too late. It's out of the bag. People already know what's been done. It's already spread across Jerusalem. But let's warn them, let's threaten them that they quit right now and stop speaking in this name. You know why? Because they knew what would happen. If they kept speaking in the name, people would keep getting saved. People would keep getting healed. You see, even the enemies could make the connection It wasn't in the program. It wasn't in the talent of the singers. It was in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they tried to. They didn't say, let's tell them not to have any more ice cream socials. They didn't say, let's tell them not to have any more skate nights. They didn't say, let's tell them not to have. They said, let's tell them not to preach in His name. They knew the power. They knew where it came from. Oh, hallelujah. Satan knew he couldn't stop it. He tried to contain it. Amen. Satan knows he can't get everybody to shut up the gospel, but he'll do everything to fight the gospel when it's being preached. Amen. Oh, but in the end, he can't stop it. How many knows the Holy Spirit can't stop a Holy Spirit-filled church and believer? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm just hurrying to be hurrying, but I wish I could just dwell there for a while. Verse 18, and they called them back in and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now listen, we're going to let you go, they said, but you quit living or you quit preaching the name of Jesus. I mean, they're against these people. I want to tell you tonight, if you're living the Christian life and that the world can get along with, then maybe you're not living the true Christian life. Think about it. If you're living what you think is a Christian life, but you're getting along with the world, you're probably not living the genuine Christian life. Because these that lived and preached the gospel, amen, their enemies could not get along with them. If you're letting the Spirit move in your life, there'll be conflict. But if there's no conflict with the world, it's probably because you're not allowing the Spirit to work in your life. So, don't speak in the name of Jesus. That's what their enemy said. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, what's right in the sight of God? To hearken unto you more than unto God? Judge. Now, these aren't rebels. These aren't people saying, well, I feel like going 85 on the 65 speed limit on the highway, and God told me to, and I'm going to do what God said more than. No, that's not what it was about. It was about their conscience. It was about their faith. And Peter and John said, you told us not to speak anymore in His name, but you be the judge on this matter. Whether we should obey you or obey God, because every time we take a step down the street, we hear God whispering to our soul, tell them about Jesus. Preach His goodness. Talk about His power. Amen. And we're going to obey God rather than man. I'm telling you, man will tell you, you don't need to go to church. I'll obey God. Man will tell you, you don't need to get fanatical. You don't need to sell out to God completely. I'd rather obey God than man. Amen. It's listening to man that we get in the trouble we get in. We need to listen to God. Verse 21, so when they had further scolded them, I mean, they're threatening them, they let them go finding nothing how they might punish them. They went through the law books, couldn't even find a loophole to hold them. And because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which is done. I want to make one note, though. I would like to dwell here. If it's genuinely a work of the Spirit, if it's genuinely a miracle, it'll be God that'll be receiving the glory and not a man, not the name of a ministry. Amen. That's true. All men glorify God. It didn't say all the people begin to glorify Peter and John. Now, they had tried that because they weren't used to this thing. But when they tried it, the man of God that was on the recipient end of all the praise, he said, don't look on us. We're not the ones that did it. We were instruments. We were channels. But we didn't do it. He did it. Oh, that'll liberate you right there. If you'll just give God the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Song's trying to come to me there. I'll leave it there. Verse 22. They couldn't deny it, for the man was about 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. We're about done, but I want to bring this all together in a moment. Now listen, here it is. And being let go, Peter and John, they went to their own company. I love that. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They're under conflict. They're under attack. They've been threatened. But the first thing they did with all that trouble is they hurried as quick as they could to their own company, to their fellow saints, to their family of God. I'm going to tell you, this is instructive. Because so often when we're under attack and we're discouraged and we're facing the enemy, we'll hole up in home. We'll sometimes go to people that don't even serve the Lord for counsel and for confidence. I'm telling you, when you're under attack, it's time to head straight to your own company. It's time to head straight to the family of God. It's time to get together with the people of God. You got troubles, you're depressed. Amen. Don't hole up at home. Get to the people of God as quick as you can. Get to Tuesday morning prayer meeting. Get to Wednesday night service. I need help. I'm under attack. I'm facing Satan. I've been threatened. Oh, but I've come to tell the people of God I need their help. Look at verse 24. What was their response? Amen. Did they have a 3-day seminar? Did they have a 10-step program? No, what was their response? And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice. Voice to God with one accord. The response was, oh, it's bad. You're under attack. You're being persecuted. We got to go to prayer. I'm telling you, prayer is still the answer. That was the immediate response at the report of the ill treatment of these apostles. It was, let's go to prayer. And I'm telling you, yes, you can pray on your own, but there's something about it when you get together with your brothers and sisters that love you and you share your need with them, and suddenly you're praying together. It's a concert of prayer. Hallelujah. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. They start by reminding themselves of the greatness of God, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said. Now they turn to the word of God. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. I don't have time to get involved in this, but he said, yes, all those wicked men took Jesus, ill abused him and killed him, but underlying it all, there was the plan of God. Amen. God allowed that to happen for the greater purpose of saving our souls. But when things look their worst for Christ, and you can't get any worse than the cross, but when the things look their worst for Christ, he could still know everything was happening just according to God's plan. And you can know that too. When things get the worst in your life, and the persecution is the greatest, and the suffering is the hard, you can know that God is control. God is on the throne and everything is happening right on schedule according to his will. Hallelujah. And they continue to pray, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant it to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, notice their prayer here. They didn't pray, we've been threatened for preaching the name of Jesus, so God, put us in a place where there's no more threats. They didn't pray that. They didn't say, now, Lord, we've been threatened for preaching the gospel, so, Lord, show us a way that we can do this without preaching. You know what they prayed for? Not to be taken out of their trouble, but for the power to continue to do God's will and to live for him in spite of the persecution and the problem. Now, I have to confess, I'm probably like most of us. When I got problems, my first prayer is, get me out of here. Right? That's not what they said. Their prayer wouldn't get me out. Their prayer was, Lord, it's your will for me to be here and do this thing. Fill me with the power so in spite of the opposition, I can do it anyway. They weren't looking for relief. They were looking for new power. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, do it by, verse 30, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Lord, give us power. And when, verse 31, this is it tonight. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with with boldness. I'm telling you, they prayed for power, and here it came, and it came in such a mighty way, it shook the very building they were in. I don't know what that would have registered on the Richter scale if they had had them back then. Hallelujah. But the very place was shaking, and they were all filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I entitled this, "We're Filled to Face It." We are filled to face it. They were facing persecution. They were facing opposition. They were facing an enemy, an adversary. But the answer to their problem was to be filled with the Spirit, that they might face that enemy. And oh, brother, he filled him. Oh, he shook the very place. Glory to God. Do you ever get the feeling that you as an individual, we as a church, we need another shaking? Hallelujah. Shake us out of the pew. Shake us out of complacency. Shake us out of the world. Shake us out of the trap of Satan. Shake us out of discouragement. Shake us out of self-pity. Shake us into your will. Shake us into your presence. Shake us into the very realization of the power of God in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Instead of quit speaking in his name, they were filled with the power so they could continue doing it. I want to close with two things. Again, I'm not trying to be a calamity. How music would you come? But if there is not a definite change in our nation, we'll only see an increase of persecution against true believers in the church of God. In fact, right now, you know, it always comes ostensibly under some other thing like safety or all of the discrimination, all these other things. But just recently, a man in Phoenix felt led to start a Bible study in his backyard, in his gazebo in his backyard. It wasn't long that people were so touched by that Bible study that on the night of the week of that Bible study, about 50 people would gather under that gazebo just for a Bible study. But the neighbors didn't like it. They weren't playing rock and roll music. They weren't blaring with speakers. No, they were just having a Bible study. They came in recently to that man. I forgot his name, but they said, "You got a choice. If you don't quit having this Bible study, you're facing, at the first offense, you're facing 60 days in jail and a $12,000 fine. You can't do this." That's a small example. I believe persecution is growing in so many ways. Have you ever noticed, as you try to do right and stand for right, there's a tremendous attack of Satan upon you? I just want you to be honest across the body. How many would lift a hand and just be honest and say, as you attempt to live for God and do right, recently there seems to be an increase, attack, and persecution and opposition. But what did they do? They went to their own company and prayed not to be taken out of the dilemma, but to be filled with the power that they might face it. My Bible reading this week, got to reading about Daniel. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, called all the wise men in, he said, "I'm not going to tell you what I dreamed, but you're going to tell me what I dreamed, and you're going to give me an interpretation of it, or I'm going to kill y'all." They said, "We can't do it." And so the servant went to gather up all the wise men and killed them. He came to Daniel's house, and Daniel said, "Hold on a minute. You go tell the king, though other wise men may not have told him what his dream was, but my God's able to tell him what his dream. You give me just a little time. You go stop the king's order. Give me a little time." You know what Daniel did? The Bible says immediately after he told the king's servant that, immediately he went to his own company. He went immediately to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, "Here's the deal, guys. We're facing it. If we don't have this dream and this interpretation, the old king's going to kill us. Guys, would you pray with me that God would give me the dream and the interpretation?" And those three plus one, Daniel, bowed their heads and had a prayer meeting. And suddenly Daniel said, "He gave it to me. He gave it to me. He went to the king's servant and said, get me an audience. And he went in there and he said, King, the other wise men were right. There's not another man on earth. There's not a man on earth that can tell you what you dream and give the interpretation thereof. But there is a God in heaven. And I've been talking to that God with my company. And God has spoken to me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you're facing it, get with your company and pray together until the Spirit of the Lord fills you that you can face it. Hallelujah. I want to give this altar call, but I don't know how to give it. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Brother Brian, could you and Sister Sarah just come stand up front here? Brother and Sister Heath, would you come stand up front here? I'm just doing this randomly here, getting some folks up here. Amen. Aaron, Martha, would you come stand up here? Come ahead, Brother Brock, could you come up here? I don't know, Sister Brock, if you're able to come. We're going to make this the company tonight. I know this is a little hard, but would you mind just turning around with me and look at the audience here? We're going to make this the company tonight. And I want to know right now, maybe there's someone here, you're really facing it. You're really facing persecution. You're really facing the attack of Satan. And you don't want to run. You want to be filled with the power to face it. I'd like for you to come right now to this company. Just come to any of these. Just begin to come. Here's some others that you would come right now. Just come and say, I want you to pray with me. I'm not even praying to get out. I'm just praying for power. That's it. Others, would you come? Amen. Amen. Brother and Sister Norvell, would you come and stand over here real quick? Hallelujah. Brother and Sister Norvell are up here. Amen. Amen. Sister Maggard, come stand right here. Hallelujah. This is your company tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's some more company right here. I believe there's others tonight. You need help. You're facing adversity. Amen. Some of you young people, there's some folks over here that's ready to pray. They're ready to pray. I want you to come right. There's others tonight. Amen. You're praying for the Spirit of the Lord to rise up in you. Amen. There's some folks right over here waiting to pray. Amen. Young people, come right over here. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are there others you'd like to come? You say, I'm facing, but I'm going to pray for a power. Filled to face it. In the name of Jesus. Filled to face it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said in Galatians, he gives the Spirit by faith. Believe God that it's His promise. Believe God that it's His gift to you. Believe Him tonight. He giveth the Spirit by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We need more of the company. Amen. I want the rest of the company to gather in around these tonight. Pray with them tonight in the name of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, more of the company. We need some Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that'll help Daniel pray tonight. Amen. We need some company to pray. Amen. I believe there can be a shaking of the place. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Gather in as close as you can. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray in His name. The devil would like to shut up His name. But pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus.
I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
Grace. Oh, come on, let's pray tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's pray, company. Company, let's pray. Hallelujah. Company, let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Company, let's pray. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Pray one for another. Come on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, pray with Daniel. Come on, people of God, pray with Peter and John tonight. Pray for their strength. Pray for their power. There is a power greater than anything around us. There is a power to fill us. We can face what around. Pour out your heart to God. Don't listen to the enemy. The enemy's telling you to quit. The enemy's telling you to be quiet. The enemy is threatening you. Don't listen to the threats of the enemy. Let's pray. God that made the heavens above and the earth beneath and the sea and all that in there is, move with your power. Strengthen your people. Oh, hallelujah.
Let me know I was his own.
Oh, let's honor him. Let's honor Jesus. Let's honor Jesus. Lord, we need your strength. We need your power. We need your help. Oh, hallelujah. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need your strength. We need your power. We gather together in the name of Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus. Oh.